we get just flustered, frustrated, annoyed, and we get carnal, quite frankly. We get carnal. And so I'm very thankful for the emphasis Brother Pete Scazzaro puts and places upon your life is being with Jesus and also doing for Him, but allowing that to flow from being. And so the third mark we've talked about is embracing God's gift of limits. And last week, we talked about that first aspect of the limits, and that is, what limits do I need to receive and submit to joyfully as God's invitation to trust Him? Okay, can I trust God? Can I trust that God is good and that He truly has a grip on all things? Or do I feel like I'm the answer to everyone's problems? Or I'm the answer to everyone's situation, and without me, it's all just going to totally fall apart. If we have that mentality, then we're not trusting the Lord. And we have to, as disciples of Christ, realize we're limited. I can't be everywhere all the time, and I can't help everyone. And God helps us by His Spirit, helps us to determine that. And we talked about those things. We talked about the examples in Scripture and how God, we saw limitations in the garden and how Adam and Eve went against that. And we saw, of course, limits on the disciples and Paul had limits. And it doesn't mean as we're going to talk about tonight, it doesn't mean that we can't push some limits, because there are times to break through limits. And again, we find that through our growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, what I want to talk about is what we have here is the limits to break through. This is the second way in which we experience limits as a gift is by breaking through them. So these are two questions here that are presented that we'll get in here in just a moment. But notice with me Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. This, you're familiar with Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges here, the fifth judge that would have been called of God. And just to give you the context here, we realize that Gideon and the children of Israel were in a very oppressive place because of their sin. They were being humiliated, quite frankly, by the Midianites. And it was because, again, they had rebelled against the Lord. But thankfully, we have a God who's merciful. Amen. And He doesn't leave us the way we are. And by the way, I'm just going to mention that because that's a very important in understanding this next limit that we're going to talk about, the second type of limit. But we're going to talk about Gideon here, and there are others in Scripture that had to work through this. many other examples, that is. But notice here, after the context is they're in a humiliating spot. They're afraid. They're living in caves. The children of Israel are. They're just in a very bad place. And they're frustrated. They don't know really what to do, but they do call out to God. It says in verse 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished. And because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel did what? Cried unto the Lord." They cried unto the Lord because of what they were experiencing under the oppression of the Midianites, as we see in verse 7. And so the Lord's going to send a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage." And He's going to give a message here. Now, again, the Lord hears their cry. And as we look at these limits tonight, I'm thankful God doesn't leave us the way we are. Notice here, before we go further into Gideon's life, the two questions to ask ourselves in this context of breaking through limits. that God wants us to break through? Which limits are God asking me to break through by faith for the sake of His name in the world? All right? The second one is this. What are the limits of immaturity that God is asking me to break through in my personal life? Well, what we have here in the Scriptures is God coming and meeting someone that had some limits that needed to be broken through by faith. His name is Gideon. Now, if you notice there, here in verse 11, it gives us the introduction. And as Gideon is getting ready to get a call from the Lord. And verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and there pertained unto Joash. And we see here that he's going to introduce this fifth judge, Gideon. And notice what Gideon was doing. It says that he did what? He threshed what? Wheat by the what? Now, you know that's... That, of course, is not the natural place to thresh wheat, is it? If you know the understanding here, we understand the context, and I'll say more about that. But he did it to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, which I believe, and most Bible-believing scholars do, that this is a pre-incarnate Christ. It says here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Some have said when the Lord said that to him, it might have been very possible that Gideon looked around his shoulder to see if somebody was standing behind him. Because, again, in this culture, The wine press was for the grapes. It wasn't for the wheat. You know, they would grow the grapes up on the hillside, and then when they were ready to harvest, they would move them downhill and cart them and load them up and cart them down to the wine press to make their juice and wine. And what we understand there is that is the place for that. And that's a very strange place to be threshing wheat, because that was supposed to be done at the opposite spectrum. They took the wheat up to the top where the wind would be the strongest. And so the chaff would be blown away. And that was where it normally was done. But because of their fear, and because of their insecurity, and because of many other things, Gideon was in the wrong place. That certainly signified that there were some things wrong with him in this whole situation. Now, it's interesting, though, that the Lord would call him that. Now, you could say here, I mean, I think you could say that the Lord has a sense of humor. There's a couple ways you could look at this. Why would the Lord say mighty men of valor when he was basically hiding and hiding? Well, you know, there's a couple views on that. You could say, well, God saw the potential that was there in Gideon. But you could also say God just has a sense of humor and just use that in a sense of not necessarily mocking Gideon, but making a point. Like, Gideon, do you not see how you're limiting yourself because of your fears? And I believe that's where I'm going with tonight. And I believe this is this next point. A lot of time we don't break through what God's limits, the limits God is wanting us to break through by faith, is because of fear, because of doubt, because of insecurity, because of uncertainty. Those are some things that come. But God's got a message for him here. Get up, mighty man of valor. I'm calling you. And of course, Gideon's response there is, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of saying. So Gideon knew of the miracles. He had heard of them. He believed in them, but he wasn't seeing them then. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And so, we, of course, you follow this account, and you'll see how God continues to call him and make it clear on how he's going to use him. And, of course, the 300, how he will use to against an army that outnumbers Gideon and his mighty men. It's an incredible account of God's power being shown through where we feel like we're limited from a human perspective. There are other examples that we could look at and think upon, even tonight. Even people in the Bible. What were some people in the Bible? And just we'll just say Old Testament right now. Of course, we can look there too. What are some examples in the Old Testament of people that just had really they didn't want to go through the limit that break through a limit that God was calling them to break through because of a character issue. Who were some in the Bible that way? All right, Jonah. Moses. What was Moses' issue? His speech. Yeah. And he fear. Worry. That's good. Moses, who else? David. Yeah. Absolutely. There were times David did face Goliath, but there were times too where he let his eyes get where they shouldn't be. And there is definitely the positive and the negative there. Who else in the Bible can you think of? You know, the only reason this is fresh in my mind is because we're going through Esther right now with the young people. And, you know, Esther wasn't too sure about going before King Ahasuerus. You know, she's like, Mordecai, do what? You want me to do what? You know, I hadn't been invited in the past month, just so you know, just in case you missed that. Mordecai hadn't been before the king that could take my life if I come before him. And, of course, Mordecai sent a message back and said, well, God will preserve his people. The Messiah will be born, but there are going to be a lot of people destroyed if you don't get in there and see that king. And then she took that from her cousin and she said, all right, well, let's do this. And she said, let's call the prayer team. And of course, she sent the message out to the kingdom, to Mordecai, said, have everybody pray and fast for 3 days. And I'll fast and pray for 3 days, and we're just going to see what the Lord does. You see, there was a limit there, but God wanted her to break through it. And there are limits in your life and my life that God's wanting us to break through by faith and obedience and trust God to bring the victory. And we have to be discerning about that. Not to confuse it with what we've talked about before. There are areas that I do need to realize I'm limited and I can't do. But there are also things that I can do. I also think of Daniel. Daniel pushed through limits that were put upon him. I think of also, again, we talked about Abraham and Sarah. They broke through limits by faith. I think of Elijah. Elijah was one that was prone to being despondent and depressed. He was one that was prone to get down and discouraged. But God lifted him up and led him through those things. I think of the 12 disciples. The things that these guys were uneducated. They didn't have the networking scheme going on. They weren't the well-known guys. You know, they didn't have all this training necessarily behind them and their history and their education again and even their family life. But guess what? God used them in a mighty way to break through those limits by faith. And God uses weak things to confound the wise, to break through limits so that He can get the glory. And tonight, I think upon this. What is it that God's calling you to do and calling me to do? A limit to break, if you will, through by faith for His name's sake in the world. You know, one of the first things that comes to my mind when I think upon this limit is something God calls us all to do. And that is, one discipline is to be a witness. I mean, I'm an extrovert by nature, just my personality. But, you know, I'm embarrassed to admit how many times I chicken out when it comes to sharing the gospel. I just get intimidated. I get insecure. And it's a limit that God does not put on me. God puts no limits on us in sharing the gospel. Did you realize that? There's no limit on you. You have an opportunity to speak the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The only reason we limit ourselves is because of fear or laziness or apathy. I'm just being real. I mean, I'm just trying to be real. I mean, that's why. But it's a limit we put on ourselves. It's not God's limit. Now, is that now going back to the other limit? Can I go out and witness to 100 people every day? Well, probably not. Because I am limited on that, but I'm speaking in general terms when it comes to having open doors and giving the gospel in some way, inviting someone to church, starting a Bible study of discipleship with someone. Those things right there, that is what I have no limit. I can do that. You see. And but that's one. I think of my prayer life. You know, there's limits that God's wanted me to break through by faith, you know. You say, well, how many minutes a day do you pray? You know, I think it'd be good for us all at some points to maybe just to kind of take an account someday of how many minutes of do you pray every day. You say, well, we can maybe have various answers around here. Well, I pray 5 minutes. Well, I pray 10. I pray 20. I pray 30. And it's probably going to fluctuate from day to day depending on what you're doing. Maybe you have a very consistent schedule, and that's fine. That's good. But it's going to fluctuate. So why can't you break through the next level? Well, you shouldn't. You put a limit on yourself. You say if you pray 10 minutes a day, what's keeping you from praying 20 minutes? You know, 20 minutes a day. Or 15, adding to that. So there are always, in the Christian life, there are disciplines that we can break through for God's glory as a church. You know, as we take a step of faith and like taking freedom that lasts, you know, a ministry we're starting, reaching those dealing with and are enslaved to sin in some way and just wanting to live free from any entanglement of sin and wanting to walk in a deep walk with God, starting that ministry. That's breaking through a limit that God's called us to break through by faith. You know, our various ministries, Good News Club. I mean, we lost some volunteers, you know, and just normal life stuff that just comes up. It's nothing bad. But we have gone down. We had about 8 there today, I think. But that's a limit that you may say, well, we're not going to be able to do it. But God's saying, you can do it. You can do it. Those are the positives, that things that we can go forward and do. We're going to, Lord willing, be talking about in the coming months. Got a meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to be talking with the finance committee about starting a building sanctuary expansion committee, or we'll expand these walls and add more room and renovate this sanctuary. It's one of the last areas of our church that hasn't been updated, besides our office space, which that's going to come too. But you know, to go ahead and pr- press past that limit of that wall and opening things up and beautifying the sanctuary, updating the sanctuary. Those are things we can do by faith. Those are what God's calling us to do as a church. The Lord's, I believe, calling us to pray more as a group, corporately. And that's something we desire to do as a church. There are other areas that you can think of, right, tonight. What about that Sunday school class that you think you could never teach? Or ministry that you could never help in? Well, listen, God may be touching you and calling you about that ministry. You know? He very well could be pressing upon your heart. Now, you want to be led of the Lord and that because you don't want to put something on your plate that you're not being a good steward of what you already have. But you understand what I mean there. There's so many things that God's calling us forth to do. We don't want to limit that. Our marriages. We don't want to limit the growth of our marriages by our immaturity. We want to just let God break us and mold us and remold us and remake us and lead us in those things. We don't want to limit our spiritual walk because of immaturity. But it can happen. I mean, Timothy, who had been called to pastor Ephesus, was surrounded by wickedness that you can hardly imagine, and he struggled with fear. He really did, and that's why Paul wrote to him and said, Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And he goes through that. You watch that. You read that first epistle, and he's just really... He's pumping Timothy up and just encouraging him and saying, you got this, brother. You push through those limits. You don't let those people keep you from pastoring that church, loving those people, leading them to Christ, planting more churches. Let God take you to the next level. And God's always wanting to take us to the next level of our walk with Him. And our usefulness to Him. But it always comes from being with Him and so that we can be used for Him, for His glory. But that is, and we could give some more examples here. But just in closing, what about you tonight? Can you think of something that perhaps there's some limits that God's asking you to break through by faith so that you can be more of an effective witness for Christ? I don't know. Maybe you need to start taking some more gospel tracts from the gospel, from the racks, from each side, and just trying to give them out more. I don't know. Let the Lord lead you in that. Maybe it's that person that you work with and you're scared to death to invite them to church or just to start a Bible study or to say, hey, how can I pray for you? I don't know. But they're, we all have them. And God's saying, let you break through that. I'm with you. Mighty woman of valor, mighty man of valor. Yes, you might be like Gideon. Yes, I might be like Gideon. I'll sunk down in the wine press, look at those Midianites, scared to death, feeling like a coward, all embarrassed about it, insecure about it. God said, hey, son, hey, daughter, I want to use you. Yes, in your Levites. I want to use you to break through this limit by faith so that this world can know that there's a God in heaven. Saved your soul, loves you, and can lead you. Because God won't share His glory with any other will. He's going to get the glory. He is going to get the glory. If you try to take that glory, I don't want to be standing beside you, friend. Now, I say that kind of jokingly, but at the same time, we don't want to take the glory. We want God to have every bit of it. And then secondly, what is it in my life? Mine, personally, that I feel like, and everybody's different, right? One of mine is organization. I struggle with it, and the character aspect would be laziness. Because I'm more of a vision guy, more of a spontaneous guy, and I just... just boom, boom, boom. Just don't sit there and read directions. Just try to do it and go and everything. But see, I can't. I limit myself when I do that. If I do not allow God to just continue to work in my heart and show me that I need to grow. And I could say, well, that's just who I am. Well, no, I can't just say that. Because that's a character issue. That's not a limit God's putting on me. That's a limit I'm putting on myself. We see the difference? So everybody has a character flaw in this room to some degree, at some point, at some level. Everybody's different. So don't let that just be your identity. Accept the fact that God's calling you to break through that limit. By obedience and letting Him lead you and to take you to be more grounded in Him and loving Him and loving others. I just encourage you tonight to think upon what is it? What is it the immaturity, spiritually speaking, in your life is God asking you to break through so that you can be effectively used for His glory? Well, that closes our lesson up on the third mark. It's embracing God's gift of limits, whether that be submitting to them joyfully at God's invitation to trust Him, or it might be saying God's invitation to break through them. Either way, let's just obey the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the gift of limits. I'd never really thought of it in this context until we got into this study. But Lord, it has helped me. You've really confronted me about some things through this particular mark of deep discipleship. And I pray You've done the others for my brother and sisters in Christ. I pray that You would help us to not try to think that we are the answer to the world and that we can do it all. Because God, oh Lord, we know all the factors in that we can't. The seasons of life, limitations, physically, intellectually, emotionally. Lord, just history, so many things that factor in. But God, You will lead us. I believe that. Because Your Word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Your Word also says, Lord, that if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, You'll give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, You tell us that if we'll trust You with all our heart, and lean not into all our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge You. You promise us that You will direct our paths. So may we just practice spending sweet time with You, communing with You, so that You can flow through us. And so that we can serve You fervently, faithfully, and just in a continual way throughout our Christian life. So, Lord, thank You again for Your Word tonight. Thank You for the testimony of Gideon. I see myself in him in more ways than I like to admit. And I just pray, God, that You would just continue to lead our church to break through the limits that You're calling us to by faith. And may we not cower in this world, but may we stand up for Jesus. Lord, we love You and honor You, and we commit our lives to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.